second part of this December the 2nd night lecture. Going into Q2. Q2 is simply an extension of Q1, and it's to the effect that theta, or a thetan, creates space, energy, and objects by postulates. That immediately tells you that there must be a Q above Q1. Now, what it is, I can't tell you. I don't know. Not in any term that can communicate. I sit down and I take a look at that every once in a while and I say, it'll be very interesting. I'm sure it's very interesting. Make another postulate. Very strange thing about postulates is that in Homo sapiens, a postulate is accompanied by evaluations and conclusions of data. And from a theta level, it's just a postulate. In Homo sapiens, postulates are made on a time stream. He makes a postulate today, and then tomorrow he is the effect of it. Actually, a postulate runs this way. Paul says, I am now an elephant. I feel like an elephant. He says that in one moment, and then boom, in the next second, he's an elephant. He feels like an elephant. He could actually say that to himself. That's a little ridiculous. Now, let's make something a little more down-to-earth about this. Fellow's down at the garage, and he says to the garage attendant, that jack looks pretty dangerous. I'll probably go home and jack up that cock, and that jack will fall out from under and smash my hand just as sure as shooting. He does so, and 2 hours later, he smashes his hand in just that fashion. Probably took a lot of arranging. I know one fellow that had the phrase, you get a phrase. A phrase can be an enforced command thing, which an individual then takes as a superior command, or even can take as his own postulate. Any decision or statement on a condition of being can be effective on an individual. Any statement. Now, in Homo sapiens, he makes a statement, or he obeys something which he considers to have a higher level of command than he has, and he has, at that moment, had this command phrase. And this command phrase could be a statement of condition of being. That's all it is. So a postulate is a statement of condition of being. It could be more than that. It could be a postulate is a statement of condition of being, up to and including the materialization of objects. Now, in Homo sapiens, as I say, he makes the postulate, and immediately afterwards, he becomes the effect of the postulate. This is then cause and effect strung out on a time stream. Now, just talking to you about the reason why. The reason why goes backwards on the time stream, cause to effect goes forward. It is very evident. All very evident to people, that cause is always in the past, and the effect is in the present. Now, for instance, it's very obvious. In order to make a noise, I drop this book here. Now, you see, I've been caused. Now, a little time elapses, and the book drops. That becomes very evident, doesn't it, that cause is in the past and we're an effect from a past cause. Well, in view of the fact time doesn't operate quite that way, man can still be agreed upon and aberrated along this line. The truth of the matter is, the cause was in the future. Why? We're talking about the drop of this magazine. So the desire to have the magazine drop in the future, and we've got a future drop there, which is making a present cause. That's very interesting, isn't it? Now, the reason I have to be an effect to some degree in order to have a cause in the future. The cause you might say is motivated by the future. That's obvious. You want something in the future. All of your work, for instance, is motivated by the future, not motivated by the past. You want to eat tomorrow. Why, you work today. So the cause is eat tomorrow. And the effect is work today. So it gets kind of squirreled up, doesn't it? All right, we don't have this kind of a silly thing running on the time stream whereby we have cause and then an effect. And yet the reactive mind operates that way most beautifully. We go back down the genetic line, we look at that GE, he's taken every counter effort and he's figured it out in some way or another to add up the machinery so that he's made some useless counter effort. Wonderful. A beautiful job has been done there. Cause, and then he builds a structure. There's a reason to build a structure, and then we get the structure. And there's a reason to build a structure? But cause and effect. Obviously laid out on a time stream, isn't it? You want to view with considerable suspicion anything that can be explained equally well in two different ways. If you can explain that a cause is in the future and is an effect in the present, and a cause is in the past and is an effect in the present, and there's the same order of cause which is causing the same order of cause, what the hell is this all about? You mean we're just standing in the middle of all of this, getting machine gunned, huh? We find effect is pretty well in the present. Well, but then causes in the future, causes in the past. Well, causes in present time, but the effects in the past. This universe has a law. It has an interesting law. It says, if you make a cause in the present, you cannot effect or make an effect out of the Roman Empire, because that was 2,000 years ago. And the day you can change the Roman Empire in the past by making a cause in the future, why, you're doing all right. That would be a reversal of the whole proceedings. We'll know much more about this when we get on time. But just let me say this at the moment. There isn't any past, and there isn't any future. And the present time, this instant of awareness in present time, might as well be across a period. Present time might be 800 billion years long. It might be a sixth of an inch long. And it might be a lot of things, which it isn't. But, so, I'm making this quite clear. We process postulates out of people. In Homo sapiens, a postulate is made because of evaluations and conclusions, so that he gets associative logic. He gets a fascinating parade there, a little gradient scale. There's this, leads into this, leads into this, leads into this. Let's see. For one of a message, the battle was lost. No, that's the wrong way, too. It's for want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of a horse, the rider was lost. For want of the rider, the message was lost. For want of the message, the battle was lost. And all for the loss of the horseshoe nail. That's a time stream, cause and effect, and that's also a piece of logic. That's a growing effect from a cause, and you can follow that logically. All right. That's just great. If all of this held true all the way along the line, it'd be very nice. But as I said, you work, you eat tomorrow, and the cause is the necessity to eat tomorrow, and you work today. So that's the other way, too. Well, there could be two levels of thinking, then. You could have a postulate without regard to evaluations, conclusions, or time. And that would be a theta postulate. A postulate, then, on the theta, high theta level postulate would be a postulate made without regard to evaluations. This is without regard, necessarily, to evaluations, conclusions, or time. So there's a whole bunch of thinking there all of a sudden, isn't there? There's a whole horizon of thinking that has nothing whatsoever to do with logic. It has nothing to do with anything. It has anything to do with anything. I mean, it's just you could just arbitrarily think. And if you really look at it, you can see that a postulate is the introduction of an arbitrary toward some goal or not toward any goal. That tells you that you can undo a postulate on the theta level in present time. Now, a theta level postulate is always senior to associative stimulus response postulate. These associative stimulus response postulates, you see the fellow make the postulate. He says, I'm going home, and you might as well have said, I'm going home and smash my hand with his jack. He goes home, he smashes his hands with a jack. That's Homo sapiens, that is, as actually back of it, way back somewhere on the track, you'll find some kind of a postulate sitting there, and that postulate has an evaluation, it has a conclusion. The way to survive is to die. That is the most normal evaluation conclusion sequence on a postulate. Any evaluation or conclusion can be worked around to this. Now, the way to die is to survive. Now, the way to survive is to die. It'll be something almost as idiotic as that. Evaluation conclusion means this datum plus this datum plus this datum plus this datum leads to the conclusion that this datum and this datum and this datum and this datum are true. Therefore, the way to solve this is to, and we make a postulate, and travel along the time track with everything monitored by this postulate. The fellow says, I will never get rich. He never does. He says, my health is sort of poor. So it is. He's tailor-made himself a frame of existence with the stimulus-response postulates born out of actually missed universe impressions against him. Now, you'd think as an auditor, it's quite important in auditing to know this, you'd think that you have to go back on the time track to change postulates. You drill a person for a very short time with mock-up processing, one of the most important lessons he learns, and he learns this instinctively. You don't have to instruct your pre-clear on this at all. You do have to instruct him about time, but you don't have to instruct him even vaguely on the subject of remaking postulates. He says it's there, and then it's there, and then it's there, and it's hot, and it's cold. And he says it's going to be there for a while. And right away he says it's not there. He can make a liar out of himself a million times a minute if he wants to. He can just make a postulate, and he doesn't have to say that postulate's no longer in existence. He just makes another postulate. And he'll learn this very rapidly. He just makes a postulate, and then makes another postulate. And he can make a postulate, and he can make another postulate. These postulates merely apply them to a present state or a desired future, or anything he wants to say they apply to. But on a theta level, there's a little bit of trouble way up on a theta level, is you get tired of duration getting upset. You want something to endure, so you start into the curve of automaticity. Automaticity is simply making things stick, making things automatic, and making things so you don't have to watch them all the time. That's the lazy man's way of doing it. You can make a continuing postulate. It requires your attention all the time. You have in this universe, you've made up 12 dogs. And you have to do the thinking for all 12 of those dogs. So you do the thinking for 12 dogs. Plus 180 deer, plus 16 Vestal Virgins, plus anything else you might have, or nymphs or satyrs, or anything else you might have in this universe. You can do independent thinking for a number of objects at the same time as long as you have yourself free of a time stream. You give them a time stream and you move in and out of it at will. So it can become very, very loose. And the point you have to know, two things, the points you have to know is one, space and energy and objects are created by postulates. And they are changed by postulates. And they are destroyed by postulates. And the postulates from a theta level do not have any order of precedence because of a time stream. It's your Homo sapiens as you process him, and that's one of the beauties of creative processing. Your Homo sapiens, he's gone through this agonizing death. He's been killed dead. He is lying there, and he was dying. He said, I'll never go through anything like that again so long as I live. And I would rather be killed than to be faced with such a decision again, and it's a good thing I'm dying, and I'm good for nothing but this. And all of a sudden, one day, this is a facsimile. It lies obviously on the time stream, and it sits there. And one day, somebody else comes in on the other side of it and starts jabbing him about his being good for nothing, throwing energy at it this way, or he starts throwing energy at it sitting out here. It's an actual geographical point and area. And one day it says, he says, I'm good for nothing, and I just have that feeling all the time. And you as an auditor, the past techniques, I've had to go back. Just go back and tongue track, figure and so on, and finally run out this thing and grind and get going all ground down fine, and all of a sudden, boom, there's the postulate. Springs into view, he reevaluates the postulate, bang, it's out. And he feels pretty good about it. After you've worked for many, many hours. It's senseless. Just because that thing is sitting on a ridge with a time tab on it, there's no reason you have to find it and grind it to pieces. Because it's not sitting on any lineal time track in space. It's just sitting on a geographically located ridge with regard to your prefrontal. And it's in action out there when it's hit. Now, there could be a dozen ways. You just teach him that he can make postulates at will, and it doesn't matter how many postulates are in that thing. It won't have any effect on him. Because he can handle postulates. He can take responsibility for making up his mind. And the first moment that he can take responsibility for making up his mind, he can make up his mind and unmake his mind and make his mind and unmake his mind a dozen times in a minute on the same subject and emerge for no reason at all. He says, the dog's going to run that way, he's going to run this way, he's going to run that way, he's going to run that way. I want this dog to continue for the rest of his normal existence for years. I want him to keep on running in that direction. Oh, I think I'll have him run this way. It is just very easy, and he all of a sudden finds the facility with which he can make a postulate, and one of the things in creative processing he is particularly amazed at is to suddenly locate the fact that he has a godly quality of making it stay. In his universe, when he says, there will be light, there's light. There won't be light. There's no light. I think I'll have pink light. No, it's no good. Green light. Now let's light this whole thing. Let's put four orange colored suns which have square orbits. No, that's all we need in this universe. Maybe just let them sit there. And that's fine. One day's tired of those things. But the strange part of it is when he says so, it's so. Now, somebody has coaxed him that this, all you have to do to really deteriorate somebody is to demonstrate conclusively to him that just because he says so, it isn't so. That's a big point of aberration. Just because he says so, that doesn't make it so. There's a lot of ways this mechanism is spread out through the society. One of the longer and further reaches of it is this one. You think you're so important, go down to the graveyard and look at the graves down there. There's a lot of guys down there that thought they were important, too. So what do we have, then? We have the fellow making a postulate, unknowingly being under the pressure of the meshed universe. He still kind of has this weird idea of undifferentiation. He's got the identification of his own universe and the meshed universe, and he makes this postulate here in the meshed universe, and the next thing you know, he made some kind of a command phrase. He said, take that train down the track, and I don't care, this train ought to go fast, and you shouldn't be hanging around like this. You make up that time between, and the train jumps the track, and 84 people killed, and he didn't want to make that postulate. And that's a part of, I don't want to make any decision about it. And that is, in essence, no responsibility. Unwillingness to make a decision or unwillingness to make a condition of being is the highest essence of no responsibility. The next echelon immediately down is responsibility is force. All right. Now, condition of being. I don't want to make the condition of being. One of the things that you can knock an e-meter practically off its pin on is say to this pre-clear, okay, now what if everything you said came true? Oh, no. Yeah, I wonder, you have guys going around sometime, I wonder if I thought I wonder if I was any intention on my part to have that dog run under the wheels of my car. I wonder if I kind of accidentally thought this. And if I thought this, that's what made the dog run under the wheels of the car. And that's why, I didn't want to kill that dog. It was horrible. So there you go. Now, of course, in his own universe, he wouldn't have gotten into the silly situation because nothing would have been crossing him up all the time. He wouldn't have gotten into the silly situation of where he would make a postulate without knowing it. He's already removed himself. He's made a postulate. He doesn't know if he makes these postulates, if these things come true, or if they don't come true. There's a type of insanity, by the way. This thing can become exaggerated. Any function of the mind, by the way, can become exaggerated to be an insanity. Any insanity is an exaggerated function which already exists in the mind. Any neurosis is simply that. It's something that the mind can do which has become, well, actually, exaggerated or inhibited. And you get both of those working together. All right. Now let's look at this thing about postulating. He's afraid that what he says will come true. After all, he doesn't want his orders to stick. The dispatcher, if you ever find on your hands a dispatcher of World War II for a fighter squadron, you remember what I'm telling you now. He said, well, you boys now, he said, and so on, and go on over there, and that's your patrol area. And Bill, you have to take Ed's place. And Bill goes out and gets himself bumped off deader than a mackerel. Now this fellow doesn't want to make these decisions anymore. He doesn't want to be the boy who says so. And on the day he says and becomes the fellow who doesn't want to say so, he might as well be dead and buried because he's going to be unhappy and miserable from there on. Because he's abdicated from the last shadow of his own universe. He's off the throne now. He's just a bum. So, your pre-clear will find one of the toughest things to handle is postulates. And you, of course, sneak up on him on this. You're making a whole bunch of postulates for him to which he's agreeing. But those postulates are not in the direction of his deterioration. The direction of those postulates are up toward Q1. And you're going up higher and higher and higher. Now, if you wanted to drive him the other way, too, I might as well tell you that you can take Q1 and go the other way, too. You could tell this pretty clear. Now, all right, now you get that thing out in front of you there, and you got that mock-up here, all right? You mock that up? Oh, you did. Oh. You mean you saw it? Well, let's take the second test on this thing. Let's see if by any chance you can move it. Oh, you can move it. Oh. Well, I tell you, we'll have to send you to the hospital for a week or so because we have to have this condition corrected. You mean you see things and then you think you move them around. And you see things and so forth, and you think, well, that's very strange. Why? Actually, that would be about the fastest road out. The other one is that isn't what happened. You didn't perceive that, and that is not what happened. Now, if you could work it out anyway to demonstrate that locationally, the fellow says, well, I was down there, and the car went and turned the corner. You say it didn't turn that corner. It was a block earlier. The fellow says, no, it turned that other corner. And you say, no, it's this corner. Oh, he can just feel his brains creak after a while. You know, there are certain women who live with men who do this to them all the time. And there are certain men who live with women who do this to them all the time. And that is about the grimmest time in existence. No, dear, it went that way. Yes, dear. No, I know you just didn't remember that, and so on. And where did you put it? You never know where you put anything. Get out of that, kid. Now, don't say things like that. And as a little kid, don't hold your face like that. It might get frozen that way. Because those things are working dead center, you see, on Q1, Q2. They're just working dead center. And they'll flip a fellow faster than anything you want to flip him. You just destroy his ability to put things in space and time, or reduce that ability, and make him have the feeling that what he says won't come true, or if it did, it would be a bad thing. Well, it's a good thing that didn't. It's a good thing you weren't right about that. Yeah, the fellow says, the poor guy, he agrees with that moment. Yeah, it's a good thing I wasn't right. I'm sure glad I wasn't right about that. That's the fast road to the spin bin. Now, therefore, all I'm trying to say with this Q2 is that the postulate is timeless, and it does not necessarily have to be unmade by unmaking it. It is only unmade by making another postulate. And it doesn't even necessarily have to continue in existence or have any duration to be a postulate in any way. It doesn't have to have a cause for existence. It doesn't have to have a reason for existence. A person making a postulate is being cause in what we find now to be the highest level. So we're studying cause and effect. What is the highest level cause? The highest level cause is a postulate. Does a high level cause have to have a reason? No. No reason whatsoever. You say, all the moons are not going to be made out of green cheese, as far as I'm concerned. What's that? There isn't any reason for that, except maybe randomity. He just wants a different kind of a moon, or he's just saying it, or he's bored that day, or it's raining, or maybe he even explains itself to him this way. Well, the number of loaves of bread and two to wheeler were divided with a square root of 6. So therefore, the moon in this universe will be at 1/4 perpetually. Somebody might come along and say to him, you see, if he were in this universe and he had a lot of people around him, and he has a small group of Thetans in his own universe with him, or he's part of a group that's making a universe, something of the sort, that'll only go to pieces at the time when they come along and say, why did you make the moon out of that quarter? I mean, why is the moon always at a quarter? The moon ought to be not at a quarter. We ought to have the moon at a half, and you didn't have any reason for it, did you? Now, you have to confess, you didn't have a reason for it. Now, what do you get in this society continually? Well, there must have been some reason for it. Well, you had to have a reason, or you wouldn't have done such a thing. Oh, boy, that's really taking away power out of a person's hand. You don't have to have a reason to do anything. But when you look at this universe, you're examining cause and effect upon a time stream. And so you have cause being succeeded by an effect, apparently, and as a result, you have an aberrated condition developing. Because the person can never go otherwise than downhill. If every postulate he has ever made is still in effect, and all he can do is slightly modify the limits, you'll find him getting into a narrower and narrower sphere of action. He can't help but get into a small sphere of action. He's getting into less and less action, and what does mess do? It doesn't make a single postulate. That chair there hasn't made a postulate all evening. It hasn't decided that the platform would now be carpeted in green. It hasn't decided anything. It has no opinion. And a fellow gets beaten down on this dwindling spiral of postulates because he's got an unending stream. That's one of the reasons why most people are very, very happy not to have any connection with the last light. That's gone. The heck it is. You start processing engrams and you'll find out they're strewn all up and down the track there. He has said, I have no responsibility for the postulates I made during that lifetime. The decisions which I made must have no influence upon me now, and I'm free and clear. I've got a new body. I'm all set. I'm now a Homo sapiens. I'm on my way. I'm going to get educated again. What a deceit. The guy's sitting there with an Oxford education and Rhodes Scholar, and he was also an honor graduate one time at Princeton. Here he is in kindergarten learning how to spell. You spring him out of his body, you ask him very quickly, you say, by the way, you got any bank there that has to do any university? And he says, okay, yeah, I got one here. And you say, well, pull any bad stuff out of it, strip any bad characteristics you don't want out. And he's, there's a couple I don't like. That's pretty good. What's it contain? Well, there's French and there's German, and I study Greek. And there's a lot of seminaries. Oh, no, we don't want any of that. They say, you say, you got that bank all okay now? That's right. You say, plug it into the motor controls. Plug it in. Bang. Sounds incredible, doesn't it? Well, it's true. Let's try an experience. A fellow says, I always wish I could play the piano. You say, well, you ever able to play the piano? And the engineer says, yeah, he's able to play the piano. So you say, well, step a couple of feet back of your head, now let's find all those facsimiles playing the piano. You got all those facsimiles playing the piano. Let's take out a couple, three, four here. Now let's plug it into the motor controls. All right, can you play the piano? Yes, I can play the piano. He goes in and plays the piano. Bang. Incredible, isn't it? Your free clear has to be in pretty good condition. He has to be a good player. Clear. Pretty well clear. When he really starts to do this. Very good. Actually, that's silly as hell. That's very silly. There isn't any reason under the sun why you should learn how to manipulate a piano keys and handle that great big ornery, mean piece of mess and handle these things. There isn't any reason why you have to go through all that agony if all you've got to do is mock up not only a piano, but a beautiful symphony orchestra playing behind it and make it audible. Now, you admit that would be a superior skill, don't you? That's an easy one, though. That's very easy. Why do you have to go back on the time track and pick up Mess Universe training? It's Mess Universe energy. It's old. It's secondhand. You made it, but it's secondhand. It's all bunged up. It's got slivers in it and so forth, and it's all so sad anyway, and it was built on broken hopes and lost dreams, and I can't control anything, and I don't dare make any postulates, and here I am, and gee, so why worry about that? That's one of the things your boy starts to come to a conclusion to on creative processing. He finds out he can make a postulate and bring anything he wants to into existence in his own universe. Now, it's not very many steps from that if he wants to do the idiotic stunt of coming back and making it effective on this universe. It's not very many steps back to being able to do that to this universe. Horrible. That's what we've gotten so far from Q1 and Q2. What's postulate? Postulate is simply a command statement of being. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, let's get a couple other small conditions there. And that has to do with, does theta, answer the question, does theta necessarily have no wavelength? Well, theta, from the level your preclear is operating, he is always operating above the level where he's in action. He has to operate from above the level where he's in action. You see why this is? Because he has to have a command altitude over the action which he's undertaking. So he's always just a little bit above, you might say, or a little bit less so. So you'll find your first thetans, they conceive themselves to be energy units. Well, they think they're real hot as energy units. And then they'll go on, and they, without discovering or freeing up their postulates by creative processing, without trying to build any universe of their own, without trying to do all of these things toward creation, increase, decrease, destruction of matter, energy, space, and time in their own universe, without trying to do any of these things, the fellow just starts trying to build up that energy. Let's see. Now, why can't I build up this energy? Let's see. If I agree a little more closely with the Mess Universe, I will be able to build up a lot. That's what's the matter with the Mess Universe. You land here, and you find these tremendous quantities, evidently, of already created agreements. And you just fall very easily into these created agreements and so on. And what do you know? You have all the energy you want. This is the universe of plenty with the main trick of creating scarcities with that plenty. Oh, this really gets to be a grim joke when you start along the line and a little further in this material. Because you create plenty. You create plenty. And then you teach everybody that he hasn't got any. And this keeps him in there and agreeing. You make people agree with the messed universe by telling them that he can't have any. And then as soon as you start wanting him really to agree and he's decided he can't have any, he starts to go into apathy or something, you shovel him a lot of it. Give him a lot of mess. That fixes him. That's what he asked for in the first place. He winds up clear down at the bottom of the scale on this process. There's plenty of it. There's plenty of agreement in this universe. There's always already patterns of agreement. There's all these things. You've got all this material here, in other words. And those terrific quantities of material. And with those terrific quantities of material, a person's expected work. You start agreeing again, and this universe evidently doesn't want anything to do with the energy you'd add to it. It sort of secretly takes that. But it doesn't want anything to do. It says, mess universe, much more powerful than any universe you ever had or constructed or could construct or anything like that. Mess universe says, and so on. The mess universe has a horrible motto I'll talk about later. But here is all of this energy, and you don't create any energy, so the second you're starting to going into agreement with the messed universe, energy comes down, 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 as far as one's concerned. An individual for whom everything is done has no energy left to do anything. Just look around in the society and find individuals for whom everything is done, and you find the most languid individuals. You'll find people all around you who say, if I just had a little more, if I just had a couple of maids and six or eight this, and if I just had 12 more girls working in the office, and if I just had all of these things, and so on, I'd have all of this leisure time, and I'd get all kinds of things. Now, well, you know, the more help he gets, the more things are done for him, the less he does. And he gets finally down, and you look at this boy, and he just sinks down in a chair. That's down. Now, there is an out. He can enter over into the field of sports. But you can imagine the field of sports. Imagine playing polo. The horse does all the running. You put somebody in the saddle to have him hold the stick for you. And then you have somebody else there to fire the stick off so it hits the ball properly. And then you decide, well, it's a good place to sit over here on the side of the grandstand and I'll be part of this game. And watch that boy, me, my boy, run him down there and playing polo, and all the other players also sitting there in the grandstand by this time. And there's several servants come in, and they give you some empty, big chairs, deep chairs, and you sit there, and the polo game goes on, although no real interest in the polo game by this time, and the fellow puts out his hand like this, and a drink is put into it again. He opens his mouth slightly, and somebody bends the straw over so he can get a drink. Gee, he'd be in bad shape very soon, wouldn't he? And so they do. So anytime your thetan starts up as an energy unit and starts to convince himself that he's only an energy unit and he can only operate in that bracket, he's comparing his energy to lightning bolts and all kinds of things, trolley lines out here and electric lights, and he's not up to a point yet where he can do these things. What does he do? He builds up a little bit and he goes on a big slump. He builds up a little bit and he goes on a big slump. He builds up a little, and after a while, he won't even want to move out of his body. He says, what's the use? Because he's putting himself in direct contest with the messed universe. So is the thetan an energy unit? No, he's not. But a thetan sort of conceives himself to be an energy unit. When he first starts moving out, you'll find out that he's quite convinced that he's an energy unit. And then he will spend a lot of his time trying to become a better energy unit. Well, that's the way he makes energy, is by postulates. And so you have to rehabilitate his ability to create a universe, and you automatically increase his energy unit capacity by not trying to create it at all. And you can create it up to a point over here in this untrammeled universe of his own until you get into a point where he all of a sudden turns around and says, well, a mess universe. You know, I never did like Mars. See, that's theoretical. But auditors very often tend to measure this production of energy as the ability of the preclear. Sure enough, it measures in quite a bit on the tone scale. But they judge whether or not they've got a good preclear solely and continually by how much energy he can produce. And they try to get him to produce more energy, and he's producing it in competition. You got the Edison Company down here, and they're mighty hard people to get around. They wouldn't buy your ohms and kilowatts. Not for a nickel. They make too many of them. So it's sort of wasted effort. All right. Putting this into any kind of a reality, then, we find out that in processing, the Thetan conceives himself to be an energy unit. We find out that on this definition up along the line, he's not an energy unit. He's a Thetan. He has the goal of Theta. And he, one of the things Theta can do. Well, what do you know? If a man can create space, he'll never do very much in the way of creating energy. I had an auditor over in England. The auditors measure this so well. That's why I'm stressing it. They keep coming back in there to get agreement from this mesh universe. They come around, they do this with a preclear, and then they come back and they say to the mesh universe, "Will you agree? You agree? Am I agreed with? There's my license to survive." Okay? Oh, you didn't give me one. Or this one that you did give me was written in disappearing ink. Ad auditor said, "I worked for 6 hours, worked hard with this preclear. Got our body, feel much better, carefully pranks, nice, never able to walk. Walking right and so forth. But you know, at the end of 6 hours, all she could do was lift the cigarette paper." You stop and think about it for a moment. This guy's frame of reference is the frame of reference of Scientology. He's lived and slept for quite a while. This didn't seem very good to him. Just think what would happen if you were giving some kind of a demonstration someplace or another, and you're preclear, pumps out of the body, and there's a whole stack of cigarette papers over there, and you say, "All right, will you move something around there?" And the fellow grabs those cigarette papers, move those, and person picks up a cigarette paper and brings it out here and lets it flutter to the floor with no hand touching it. Well, one of the best reasons why this had happened probably was because he had gone out and then he dived back in. The fact that he was doing this 6 hours, at the end of 6 hours of processing, demonstrated that he was again going around like a panhandler or a begging bowl or something of the sort and saying to the mass universe, "Please give us a license to survive. We will agree with you some more. And if we agree with you enough, we won't be at all. But please agree some more, and we'll agree with you, and everything is going to be fine." Right, he's just doing the same thing when he says to this preclear, "Can you pick up that piece of paper?" You're asking this individual to immediately go into contest with Mass Universe. Mass Universe does it with hands and cranes and that sort of thing. And you're asking a Thetan who hasn't yet rehabilitated his own universe to pick up some piece of paper. A piece of paper. That's an illusion called a piece of paper. And you're asking him to pick it up, disobey the laws of gravity with it, and bring it out of here and drop it where everybody can see it. Well, if you keep that up very much with a preclear, you get him out of the body. This is the test of this plea, how well it works. You get him out of his body, you set him around, he knocks off an ashtray, he does something like that. By the way, it scares him to death. Half the time they get out of their body and they say, I couldn't do anything like this. They say, I couldn't do anything like this. And they come over here and they see this box of matches here, something like that. They're out of their body. And they think, I wonder if I could. That's just that kind of a reaction. And the guy will dive right back inside you. He has agreed so thoroughly. He disagrees too fast, too quick, and he's done for a while. And you look at him afterwards, you'll just be hangdogged. It's real upset. And so, when we look over, then, the upper cues, we find out that we so far haven't anything to do, really, with the creation of energy as a level of process that we would care much about. That would be a rather low level of process. First is location in time and space of energy and matter, and it says creation of space and energy and matter to locate it in time and space. Well, that doesn't stress for one moment. That doesn't even vaguely stress this one point of creation of energy. You first have to be able to locate things in space, locate things in time, and that means move them, not identify or spot them. Move them, shift them around, and then actually create space. Create space in which to make energy. You've done all those things, well, you can move up everything around that you want to move around. But a pre-clear has to be in awfully good shape before you start putting it in contest with this. Your first level of processing up the things is locating things. Your next level is changing postulate. It comes immediately from that as the highest levels that you can hit. Now we get another cue, which I've already talked about quite a bit. And that is simply the action cycle is one of the manifestations of ability of a theta. Has to be up at that level. And the only reason it's really there is because it's one of the abilities of. One of them. Action cycle. That is a cycle which goes from 40.0 on the tone scale to 0.0 on the tone scale. And a Thetan can run this gamut. He can run it with an individual, run it with a universe, run it with an illusion, run it with anything, and so on. It has to do with space, energy, time. All these things are interrelated. Now, an action cycle, technically, is the creation in creation, growth, conservation, decay, and death or destruction of energy and matter in a space. And that is an action cycle. And it is the action cycle which produces the illusion of time. We'll see that much more clearly as we go into this. That's your last one. And that, by the way, is just that this illusion of time is created by the Thetan. And it's created by the Thetan. It is not suddenly shot off to some other sphere. Now, that which a person can create cannot have any great effect upon him. Anything that a person can create, change, or destroy doesn't have any large value to him. You wouldn't think a dollar bill was worth anything if you could make all of them that you possibly could want. You wouldn't think they were worth the things, and I think they wouldn't be worth the thing. But you wouldn't place any value on them. But those things which an individual cannot create, or believes he cannot create, rather, he believes he can't create something, that means that he can procure it only through an exchange and a communication of some sort, or a line of some sort. And we have then only those things which a person cannot create, change, or destroy, can be aberrated to a person. And that's the final run of it. When you get into the upper level of a Thetan, you find out that anything there is, he is capable of creating, changing, and destroying. He doesn't have a limit. And I don't know of any limit at this time. I've been around snooping around trying to find some limit someplace or another. And although absolutes are unobtainable, Obviously, we haven't stated an absolute. We just obviously haven't stated an absolute when we say that that is what a Thetan can do and that he can create anything. We can say he can create anything we know anything about. He can create anything you find in one of these universes. That's a rather limited scope. It's very easy. This messed universe is kind of an idiotic affair. It has three dimensions. Depends on a change in space, and you get a vibration called time, and it's awfully interesting. But anything we know about can be created by a thetan. And as a consequence, there is no shortage or scarcity to a thetan, even vaguely. So I hope with these upper brackets here, this upper brackets above the level of logics, we have described the thing or the beingness or whatever you want to call it that we're processing. Well, that's what we're processing, and that's what we're trying to process toward, and that actually is the common denominator of all of our processes at this time. And as long as we work within those realms toward those goals, we can achieve very remarkable results. And as soon as we start to depart from these goals, everything starts to go off wrong in the process. So we have a higher level of evaluation for process. The test of this is an awful lot of processing. There are theta clears around now till, this is getting, not attorney said, I look kind of weak to have you, said, I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. And he said, what do you mean you haven't any practice? He said, well, I used to have about 20 pre-clears that I used to see from one time to another. And I worked all week long and I don't have them anymore. But you say, well, you made a lot of theta clears. Oh, yes. Well, I made a lot of theta clears. Most of these were theta clears before, but I've got these up pretty well cleared as thetans and squared around and so forth. And you say, what are they doing? Well, I don't know. A couple of them I haven't seen for 2 or 3 days, and the last time I saw anything about them at all, they were talking about taking some kind of a scout out to some place or another, looking over something. And another one, one of them got himself fired, and two others got themselves promoted, and things are changing. Things are changing. It's quite remarkable. And it's after 2.5 years of watching for results in the hands of auditors, what is a technique? What's a good technique? Well, a good technique is a technique an auditor can use that will produce fast and rapid results. Furthermore, it's got to produce rapid results faster than the environment can undo the results. You're sort of racing along with the environment there. And it's got to be able to be doable after a course of training, but in a rather uniform level by auditors. Now, those are all important parts of a good technique. Does it work uniformly on pre-clears and so forth? Sure, that'd be a good technique. But can it be taught to an auditor? He said, no. Gee, that technique isn't worth darn. Well, we have a technique here, because of the existence of these things above the level of the logics, we have a technique here now, which leads us out into a good uniform workability on the part of auditors producing good effects there on the pre-clear and boosting him up the line, returning his self-determinism to him rather rapidly. You get different looking people and you get happier people processing in this way. And the name of this technique we're stressing, I'm stressing right now, is Scientology 8, 8008. And the reason this is 8, 8008 is a very simple reason. It's the attainment of an infinity by the reduction of the infinity of the messed universe, that's T, a Greek letter, to a zero of the messed universe by the increase of the zero of one's own universe to an infinity of one's own universe. And this infinity stands for just what it says. It's a theoretical attempt to reach any infinity. And that would be an infinity in any direction as far as universes are concerned. I don't know what else exists beyond universes. But there must be a lot of things, because I can see the infinity of universes. And if you can see an infinity, it's obviously not an infinity. Obviously. So this is just a theoretical infinity, and that would be any universe. And mind you, this is just an attempt.
Now, therefore, this is very interesting. It runs. We just turn that up this way. Now we have Scientology 8008.
And it's named that way with a purpose and a reason.
You betcha. Here's an infinity of any universe. This process attempts to reach the theoretical infinity of any universe. If creation, change, or destruction of any universe, that would be its infinity, by the reduction of the infinity of the next universe, this universe we're sitting in, and that could only be in terms of importance to the individual or his dependency on it. It appears to be an infinity of dependence to him now. Well, you reduce that infinity of dependence to zero for the individual. Of course, that's very nice. I wouldn't want the FBI to get a hold of this other thing. The actual thing is just between ourselves. What it means is the destruction of the mess universe. Zero. And the increase of one's own universe, which is approximately at zero now, actually. He goes around dressing up the buildings and saying, aren't the pigeons pretty? And all that sort of thing. But he knows they're not his pigeons. And all he's got is this shadow which he puts on everything, or a little bright light he puts on something. There's nothing but darkness there. But he comes along and puts a little light on it. He says, that's pretty. Yeah, that's good and pretty. Of course, he put it there so it'd be pretty. But he considers his own universe to consist of exactly zero. Really? He doesn't have a big universe. It's a zero compared to what it could be. You can believe that. To an infinity, as far as he's concerned. That is an unlimited scope for his own universe. An unlimited scope for his own universe. We consider that you get a person's universe is not really at zero. That's an absolute. Well, so that really isn't infinity, and that isn't infinity, and that isn't infinity, neither is that infinity. Those are all absolute terms. Absolutes are obtainable, but they can come awful close. Now, we get out of that the number of this technique, and the number of this technique is very, very, very important to know, because any time you forget the number of this technique, you're going to have a pre-clear who doesn't get well. And that's why this technique is named that. And this is why I want you to know the name of the technique and remember the name of the technique, so on, because it adds up to a formula of processing which won't fail you. That's an absolute too. It probably will. You take some fives, occasionally a five, will do the incredible stunt. Oh, he'll just do the most incredible thing, anything to get that pre-clear back in his head and get him agreeing with the mess universe. Anything to get him in, hold him in, nail him down, put clamps, screws, don't let him out, and then make him agree over there with the mess universe. I know we're not supposed to do this, but the best thing to do on something like that, I know we're not supposed to do this, but the best thing we could possibly do is at the moment, just a little test, just to see whether or not you're proceeding properly. How about knocking that Coke bottle off? Oh, you can't do that. Oh. Well, do you see anything in the room? Oh. Well, now look, you're due for a shock. When you open your eyes, I better warn you that this room isn't arranged that way. You're in for a little shock. But you said that the boss and so forth was sitting over by the window and so on. And oh, well, open your eyes, you'll see. The guy gets out of that, he looks and he's half crazy. Because sure enough, he saw the ceiling this way, and he saw the table that way, and he saw something else that way, and that isn't the way they are. He opens his eyes with the mess universe. Where do we get the idea that isn't the way they are? Just because the mess universe perceives through these eyes a little bit different. The actual fact about it is the poor guy is stuck theta-wise all over the time track. You get anything that can create energy
You get anything that can create space, boy, it can shift space like mad. And he'll, when you first get him out half the time, he'll take the ceiling of his own bedroom when he was a little girl, and he will take the table off the old kitchen when he was a grandfather, and he'll take this and that, and he'll put them all together, and then he'll add 4 or 5 features that match up with the room he's in. Then he'll say, but no, I can't have that desk there because that desk reminds me of Papa, so we'll put a school desk there. That's good. Now we've got the room. Yeah, that's the way things are. That's really the way he's seeing things inside of his head all the time. He sort of thinks things are sort of fouled up this way, and maybe better just sort of rely upon the body. The body can be counted upon to run into these things if they're not in the right place. And therefore, it'll keep one oriented. Using a body is very like using a compass. It orients. It says, this is present time because it's present time for the body. Look at the body's heart goes pop, 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 pop. We breathe 16 times a minute. We're all set. And he keeps himself oriented. But when he first comes out, anything that can create space can scramble it. Anything that can create energy can scramble it. Anything that can create objects can really pile them up. And when he first starts looking at the universe, boy, it's nothing like the universe. It's pieces of the universe all over the place put together because he isn't a point source of dimension, and he can't get the points of dimension squared away. So you see what happens? And we have to follow this formula. If we follow that formula, we get good pre-clears, and all comes out well, and if we turn around and face the material universe all the time and insist on it, our pre-clears don't get well. What do you know? It's just as simple as that. So that's the formula, and that's what we're studying here. Quite late, and I want to wish you all a very good night.